I'd like to call to order the regular meeting of the Genoa Township Board of Trustees on at 7:02 p.m. on September 16th, 2010. And I would like to ask Administrator Paul Wise, please, to lead us in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Administrator Wise. Fiscal Officer Report, Mr. Myers.
Yes, I have quite a bit tonight.
Oh, boy.
Taking Mr. Place's place. The first thing we'll start off with is I'll present to you and for your signatures at the end. I'll hold everything for signatures at the end.
Okay.
Are the financials. As of August 31st, 2010, balances are reconciled with a primary account balance at that day, $3,076,860.99. I'll go to my fund balances here. Excuse me. Total fund cash balance, $13,635,899.71. The investment balance of $10,558,038.72. And again, the checking balance, $3,076,860.99. And again, I'll give this to you at the end.
Okay. Thank you.
For your signatures. I've got some minutes we'd like to approve. The first being...
August 5th?
Yes, August 5th.
Okay. I'll move to approve the meeting minutes from the regular trustee meeting held on August 5th, 2010. Is there a second?
Seconded.
Discussion?
Roll call. Mr. Gebhardt?
Aye.
Ms. Lewis?
Aye.
Mr. Carfagna?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Next will be the special trustee meeting of August 26th.
Do you have a motion?
Make a motion, ma'am, to approve the meeting minutes from the special trustee meeting held on August 26, 2010.
Second. Discussion?
Roll call. Mr. Gebhardt?
Aye.
Ms. Lewis?
Aye.
Mr. Carfagna?
Aye.
Motion carries.
August 31st, special trustee meeting minutes.
Madam Chair, I'll motion to approve the meeting minutes from the special trustee meeting, which was held August 31st, 2010.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion?
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt?
Aye.
Ms. Lewis?
Aye.
Mr. Carfagna?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Special trustee meeting dated September 8th, 2010.
Is there a motion? A
motion to approve the meeting minutes of special trustee meeting held September 8th, 2010.
Second. Discussion?
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt?
Aye.
Ms. Lewis?
Aye.
Mr. Carfagna?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. The next thing on my agenda is, as part of the state audit that we did receive, one of the items that was listed that we weren't doing because we didn't know we needed to do, and we were advised of that, is we have to certify our levy amounts every single year, regardless of whether it's a new levy or not. Okay, we need to present them to you, certify them, and go. So I have a resolution here, a motion, and I'm asking for a motion to accept the amounts and rates determined by the Budget Commission and authorizing the tax levies and certifying them to the county auditor. So we'll certify, and these are the existing levy amounts that are out there today and the documentation with it.
Okay, and you wish us to, we'll go through the resolution, the resolve part, and then also the all the different monies under the different categories?
You really don't, I mean, you can if you'd like. Those are existing levies, they're not new levies, they've been in place, but according to the auditor, each year we need to say these are our levy amounts. So if you'd like to state them, that's fine as well, it's up to you.
Okay, at least the totals.
Mm-hmm.
Pat, you said these are as they are today.
Mm-hmm.
but I mean, commencing January 1st, 2011, when the levies that we just passed in the spring, when will those commence?
The ones in the spring will be 2011.
Okay, but I guess I'm confused. Like the fire and EMS, 4.4 million, is that reflective of the 3.3 mills that exist today, or is that going to be the increased millage that was just approved in the spring?
That would be both. It would be with the increased millage approvals for the spring.
Okay. 4.7 is the total?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right. Right,
yes. This is what's in place.
Yeah, okay. And you know what? I didn't read it enough because it says outside, it lists the millage there at the end, so. My fault.
No,
last call.
That's fine. That's fine. Last call.
Okay, I hear a motion?
Madam Chair, I'll make a motion to accept the following resolution. You want me to read the resolution, Marsh, please? Resolved by the Board of Trustees of Genoa Township, Delaware County, Ohio, in accordance with the provisions of law, has previously adopted a tax budget for the next succeeding fiscal year commencing January 1st, 2011, and whereas the Budget Commission of Delaware County, Ohio, has certified is action thereupon to this board together with an estimate by the county auditor of the rate of each tax necessary to be levied by this board and what part thereof is without and what part within the 10 mil tax limitation. Therefore, be it resolved by the Board of Trustees of Genoa Township, Delaware County, Ohio, that the amounts and rates as determined by the Budget Commission in a certification be and the same are hereby accepted, and be it further resolved that there be and is hereby levied on the tax duplicate of said township the rate of each tax necessary to be levied within and without the 10 mil limitation as follows. How do you want that to read then? Just read each category? Why don't we just do amount approved by the Budget Commission inside the 10 mil limitation for the general fund, $1,413,330, road and bridge, $565,334, for a total of $1,978,664. Amount to be derived from levies outside the 10 mil limitation, fire and EMS, $4,420,907, the police district, $3,574,351, for road improvements, $659,491, for a total of $8,654,749. County auditor's estimate of tax rate to be levied inside the 10 mil limit for the general fund, 1.5, road and bridge, 0.60, for a total of 2.10. Outside the 10 mil limit, fire and EMS 4.7, police district 3.8, road improvement 0.70, for a total of 9.20. And be it further resolved that the fiscal officer of this board be and he is hereby directed to certify a copy of this resolution to the county auditor of said county.
Is there a second to this resolution?
I'll second that.
Is there discussion?
Quick question. I don't know, Pat, if you even know the answer to this, but can we expect to get these amounts each September?
Expect to get this report each September?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And then going in September, we'll get it. So going into January of the next year, we can certify the amounts that will be received. Even if there's not a new levy, we'll certify the same amounts of what would be collected.
Okay.
Because our understanding was once the levy passed, was certified, until it expired, we didn't need to do another motion. And the auditor came back and said, no, we need you to resolve every year that those are the amounts that are going to be collected.
Okay.
Does that mean that this money, I guess, is guaranteed or not?
This is what the county is certifying that we will receive.
That we will receive, okay. I'm just wondering when
This is for next year.
Correct.
Right, January 1st, 2000.
Right, no, it's not going to be the same every year.
Right. Well, I understand that, but I guess what I'm getting to is that when the auditor's office does the reappraisals in, is it 2012 or 2013?
They do them next year. They go into effect in 2012.
Okay. It's going to be nice to know these numbers as early as possible.
Sure.
It is. It will be. Yes.
Especially if we think they're going to go down. So.
Uh-huh. Right, right.
You know, and this is a positive thing, I think, that came out of the audit, something that procedurally for us that yes. we're talking about this annually, not every
right.
3 years or whatever.
Right, no.
So.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I have.
Good idea. Any further discussion, questions?
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carfone.
Aye.
My next item, I had mentioned.
Motion carries.
I'm sorry?
Motion carries.
I'm sorry.
Sorry.
My next item, we have different banking relationships and have had different banking relationships for a long time here at Genoa Township. And I have talked since the time I took office, reviewing those and making sure that we're getting bang for the buck, fee structures, everything that's important to us, and also security as far as being safe and so forth. And something that's kind of near and dear to me is just customer service as well. What's the follow-up like? When we need help, can we get it? Those type of things. So I did talk to three banks about coming in and showing me what they were willing to do for the township. Mm-hmm. And I think I mentioned this to you folks that it's something I wanted to do. And mm-hmm. I have made a decision. What I'd like to do is our securities will stay with Fifth Third Bank. I think they're doing fine for us. Where we're at now, I think that's something we'll continue to look at as well, but I haven't really looked deeply at other products. Mm-hmm. But our retail side of the bank, our operating account and so forth, I think there was some things that could be better, and I think I found that convenience-wise for us, customer service-wise for us, fee structure for us, the services that are being provided to us, I'd like to change our depository accounts over to First Merit Bank. First Merit's out of Akron, Ohio. Locally, presence is getting fairly strong here, very secure, very collateralized. Local branch down here open till 8 o'clock at night some nights during the week because we have a grocery store branch. Not that we would ever need that, but maybe we will. They came in and did a great presentation to us. I spoke to the Huntington Bank as well. I spoke to Fifth Third as well. And I just felt like First Merit had the best product for us, and I think it would be a stronger relationship than Delaware County Bank is today for us. Mm-hmm. So what I'm asking you to do pass a motion to allow me to sign the depository agreement with them, and then we will slowly over the next 2 to 3 months start moving those accounts over. So by first of the year, we will be fully over to them.
Okay. Is there a motion to do so? Then we can have a discussion.
Madam Chair, I'll make a motion to approve a depository agreement for active interim and or inactive public funds with First Merit Bank, and to authorize our fiscal officer, Pat Myers, to sign the agreement.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion. I think you're making a good decision, a wise decision. I first heard of First Merit, I was listening to Jim Cramer. I don't listen to Jim Cramer that much, but he was talking about First Merit and what a good stock buy it was. And I thought, wow, First Merit. And because I'd seen their ads in the local papers, and I thought, wow, that's great. And I do think, too, I mean, even banking hours and customer service is good. And I have gone there, and I think, I've certainly been pleased.
Well, they
were a good bank. Very good.
Very professional how they approach things, very eager to meet with us. I had some struggles with a couple other financial institutions that I reached out to get them to come out, quite frankly, and it doesn't matter who, but very quick to come out. I've had some issues for my office with our current provider getting response back on some concerns I had in what I believe to be a timely manner, 15 minutes or less. No, just kidding. But within a day,
sure.
And it'd be 2 days go by and I hadn't heard and happened to make multiple calls. And the representative from First Merit has, I realize we'd be new to them, but been very quick to respond both on the retail side at the branch and at the business banking level. So I think we'll be very happy and we'll continue to look at that.
The only question I have, I know you guys had a finance and audit committee meeting earlier this evening. Was there any discussion or presentation of this to them?
There was not on this because it doesn't affect the investment piece of it at all.
Okay.
So
just the operating
piece. If we we would ever consider bidding out or shopping out or what have you, the Fifth Third securities piece, I definitely think that's an audit committee function that we need to look at, because then we would be reviewing the investment policy by the state, those type of things, where this was more about, you know, who's on the warning list and who aren't, and those type of things as well.
And convenience and edit.
So.
And it was mentioned that we were considering this tonight.
I'm sorry, I wasn't.
Yeah, that's right. But it, I mean, no action was necessary.
Well, I mean, and you've said in previous meetings that you weren't considering this, so, okay.
Any other discussion?
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt?
Aye.
Ms. Lewis?
Aye.
Mr. Carfagna?
Aye.
Motion carries.
I'm not done. I have two more things. Well, this is a lot for me. I need to ask that you make a motion to approve some additional compensation for the Safe Routes to School grant work. There was some, this was motioned before, and based on going back and listening to the audio and so forth, I believe we need to re-motion it to make it where it needs to be. Because okay. Some discussion happened, and the tabling,
okay.
The vote wasn't taken, but there was a yay and a nay, and so
right.
we're in a better situation to redo this motion.
Okay.
For public record.
Okay. I'll move to compensate Joe Clace $20 per hour for all hours worked above and beyond his normal work hours for his salary to write a safe routes to school plan for Genoa Township. This compensation shall be reimbursed from the Safe Routes to School Plant grant and shall not exceed $3,000. Is there a second?
Seconded.
Discussion?
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt?
Aye.
Ms. Lewis?
Aye.
Mr. Carfagna?
Aye.
And then I have a motion, I don't know if Joe has anything to say about this, to waive a $400 zoning application fee for a substitution of non-conforming use to the BZA for Mr. and Mrs. Martindale. Is there, I don't know. Okay.
And I believe this was something else that was previously done, but
right.
But the minutes were,
yes.
The audio was not.
Making sure it's under public record correctly stated.
Okay.
I will, Madam Chair, I'll make a motion to waive a $400 zoning application fee for a substitution of a non-conforming use with the Board of Zoning Appeals from Randy and Sherry Martindale.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion?
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt?
Aye.
Ms. Lewis?
Abstain.
Mr. Carfagna?
Aye.
Motion carries. And Mr. Myers, I know you're aware of the problems we've had twice now, is it, with our audio?
Mm-hmm.
And you've been working with Lieutenant Skeel.
Craig Skeel.
Mm-hmm. Right, on this.
Right. Craig's looking into, A, making sure this particular system doesn't fail on us, and B, maybe even some other options as far as
okay.
You know, capturing the data. You know, we had a failure. So what we're going to do, too, is have me take better notes so that we don't have just the audio.
Right.
But we are working on that. We had a technical meeting tonight about some things that we've been discussing as far as IT support. So between
okay.
Craig and possibly a outside company we work with, maybe we come up with a better solution. That's going to be something on the agenda to look at. I think,
okay.
From where I sit, I think we thought we had a really good solution. And sometimes it's, I don't know if it's my fault or how, what's happening. He said it wasn't my fault this time, so, but it just failed on us and didn't come over and copy, correct? Can you speak to that, Joe, a little bit?
We have a wireless port that we were using to transmit the download, and when it fails between the wireless port, somewhere in the air, it's my very technical presentation, but it wasn't getting over to the hall, so there's been a new wireless port installed in the kitchen here, and that'll allow us to bring a signal stronger in here,
uh-huh.
And shouldn't fail out. Hopefully,
okay.
It's experimental for now, but hopefully it'll work and
okay.
Fix the issue.
Right. I mean, we definitely have to make certain that it works. Everybody is concerned about it.
Yeah, I think that we can go from a system that we think will work here to spending a whole lot of money here. It's coming to that middle ground of what's
mm-hmm.
going to work for us for
mm-hmm.
good. Hopefully this will, and I think we need to continue to talk to it, have Craig talk to this company that we may hire in the future too, and say, hey, what are other people doing out there? reach out to other fiscal officers and how they're doing it. I know people are doing it different ways, so.
Okay, great. Okay, anything else?
I don't have anything else.
All right, and next we have public comment, and if anyone wishes to comment, if you could just sign in at the podium and then come up to the dais, we'd be happy to hear anyone would like to.
I've already signed in.
Oh, great, thank you. If you could just state then your name and address, sir. Thank you.
My name is Kevin Cryan. I reside at 3141 Ross Road in Sunbury, Ohio. I am the proud parent of two students that are enrolled in Big Walnut School District, and I'm here tonight to ask you to join me in supporting the 7.5 mil, five-year operating levy that will be on the ballots come November 2nd. 6 years ago, my wife and I moved to this area specifically because of the quality of education offered in Big Walnut Schools. We only moved from across the county. The school district we were in before didn't support education quite to the same level that we do, and for us it was a no-brainer. Moving to Big Walnut and into Sunbury helped us achieve our goals to get our kids involved in a school where education was something that was very important. While we are well aware of the heritage and the history of education in Big Walnut schools, the thing that surprised us the most, or we weren't prepared for as we got here, is the amount of pride that Big Walnut School District has, the residents have in their community. And this pride is evidenced by the number of people that show up at a football game on a Friday night and pack the stands to cheer on their student athletes as they play a football game against some of the other area schools. This is a great place to live, it's a great place to raise your children, and it's one that I'm proud to now call my home. When the economic downturn hit, our school administrators were forced with some tough decisions to balance the budget and to balance the budget. As a result of some of those decisions, some of the programs that enrich our child's lives and their educations have been cut. Programs like art and physical education in the elementary schools have been cut. In all, over $5 million in cost savings initiatives have been implemented by the school administration in order to meet our budget needs. We spend less per student to educate a student in Big Walnut School District than the average school does in the state of Ohio. In the same turn, we receive less from the state and less from the federal government to educate our students than the average school does in the state of Ohio. We have a very fiscally strong and fiscally minded school administration. Despite these financial hurdles, we have achieved an excellent school rating from the state of Ohio 5 years in a row. So let me repeat that. We spend less per student, we receive less per student, and yet we still think we receive an excellent education within our school district. Mm-hmm. That's a tremendous track record for our schools. However, that's a track record that could come to a stop if this levy fails. If the levy fails, additional budget cuts are inevitable. Those cuts are going to impact the quality of our education. Passing this levy is going to allow us to maintain the current level of quality education that we have in our schools. 6 years ago, my family made a decision that impacted the future of the education of our children. On November 2nd, the entire Big Walnut School District has a decision to make that's going to impact the future of their students or their kids' education. I hope that you join me in supporting this levy and passing this levy so that we can continue the same high level of education we've come to expect from Big Walnut schools and demonstrate your pride in our students, our schools, and in our community. Thank you very much.
Kevin, thank you for volunteering.
You're welcome.
And are there questions from the board? I just, as far as the standard question of how much is the cost for $100,000?
The cost for a $100,000 home would be about $19, $19 to $20, or $19 and some change for a $100,000 home.
Okay. Alrighty. Thank you. Certainly, quality education is extremely important to our community. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chair.
All right, new business.
Is there any other public comment?
Oh, I'm sorry. Any other public comment?
So, I need a beta deck to record from.
All right. We'll take
1979 technology. Yeah. Better.
Yeah. Reel to reel.
We'll take that under advisement, Kevin. Yeah.
That's a pretty groovy idea, Kevin. Yeah.
It'd be like the Nixon tapes.
With the 19-minute erasure.
Well, the want me to follow this agenda or the script, because the two don't mesh. So.
Oh, whatever you want to do.
All right. I'll follow the agenda since the public has that. The nuisance resolutions, first off. First off, there is a property on Milford Avenue, 7638 Milford Avenue. Property has a very large dead tree that is causing issues with a neighboring property. And so we're asking that the Board of Trustees, through recommendations from the HOA and others, that we pass a resolution to abate that problem tree on Milford Avenue.
Okay. I will entertain a motion to do so.
Madam Chair, I will make a motion issuing a declaration of nuisance and abatement of nuisance pursuant to Ohio Rise of Code 505.87 on real property located at 7638 Milford Avenue, Westerville, Ohio, 43082, parcel number 317-423-090-1000.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion.
Can maybe roll call, Mr. Clay, could maybe Mr. Clay's summarize kind of the particulars of this property?
I'll stand beside you. There's a copy of an opinion that a neighbor had solicited on an arborist that had actually declared the tree as a hazard to the community. We don't typically get involved in these unless they are a safety hazard, and this one has been declared a safety hazard. We'd ask you to declare the property itself a nuisance, and in the process, when we go out to do our inspection in seven days after notice, we'll assess the property as well and make sure that it's resolved. I think you'll also see an email in there from the property owner stating that it'll be resolved if it's something you guys deem a nuisance.
Okay, so the property owner is cooperating?
No. Are you with Bob? No, okay. I saw a suit. I didn't know if he was. The property owner had expressed that they weren't willing to remove it without some force.
Okay.
What kind of hazard is it?
It's the size and the fact that it's dying matched together. And there's some pictures, I think, that show. I'm not sure what all pictures were included. Yeah, you can actually see the house beside it. This is a vacant lot, and this area just wasn't cleared. It's our belief that probably the trees will be removed when the home's built. But unfortunately, the adjacent owner's been dealing with owners have been dealing with the vegetation on this property because it sat vacant through the housing market. So.
Has it been determined that it is the emerald ash borer?
No. It says it's that, or it lists the underbrush that's causing it to die. But, yeah, it could be that or the underbrush. But it's not been maintained. The lot's not being maintained because it's a vacant parcel.
I guess I'm a little bit cautious about the precedent. I mean, if there's obviously lots of mature trees in the township, and if a tree has got an ash borer in it or is dying, that could potentially fall on a house. I mean, are we going to start going around and start issuing nuisances all over the...
We have been. This will be the third tree one we've done in the last 3 years.
Okay.
If we ask for the arborist for that reason, they're an unbiased, they look at it from a literal health standpoint, and they're not going to declare every tree a safety hazard. This one has, and you can see portions of it dying. The photo that's in there was taken on a day when all other trees had good leaves, not after a windstorm like today. But unfortunately, with windstorms like today, that's when things fall. The neighbor's fence has been damaged, and part of what we want to do is obviously step in because it's proven itself to be a nuisance.
But typically, I mean, do we wait for neighbors to bring it to our attention, or do we?
Yes. Yeah, we will, because it's typically not something that we can see from the road, and that's also why we have to rely on an arborist. I don't know from the road, but obviously if there's a hazard and an arborist helps us to declare that, that's something we're going to pass on to you guys.
And again, it's a hazard because if it were to fall, it would fall on a house.
House or backyard. Where it's fallen now, it's causing property damage, but obviously it's in someone else's property in their backyard. And considering the smaller nature of the lots, I mean, it could cause personal damage or personal individual damage if someone's on the property. And it's not, I don't think it was just during windstorms. When I was out there, there was a lot of debris down that hadn't been windy for a while. Yeah, if you come up to the mic here, if you don't mind, Chad.
I'm Chad Lampy. I'm the one that raised the concern. I live in the adjacent lot.
Okay, could you give us your address, Chad?
7654 Milford Avenue.
Okay, thank you.
And the adjacent lot's owned by Bob Webb. We built our house with Bob Webb. We have no adverse relationship mm-hmm. with them. The trees, there are a number of trees in the lot. There's one that's close to my property. They're a little bit of an eyesore, but that's not the issue. The issue for us is windy, not windy, doesn't matter the time of the year. The tree is just gradually dying, and even tips on the very high parts at the end that are hanging over our property. Our children play there. Mm-hmm. Because it's a vacant lot, a lot of neighborhood kids use that as kind of a pathway to the pond. You know, they fish back there and do things like that. When we had the arborist out, he commented that, you know, I would imagine you don't even let your kids back here, and which caught me off guard a little bit mm-hmm. because that really yeah. sets home how much of a safety concern it is. Right. So, you know, we approached the builder. You know, I just called them. I know the people there because they mm-hmm. built our home, and asked them as a courtesy. Mm-hmm. That didn't work, and so I'm just trying to take the next logical step to do what we think is right, protect the safety of our family.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you, Chad.
The one thing I was going to say is that every builder's dealing with the same type issues. We went into this community last year and asked them to remove what was probably at least a half a dozen trees, and they followed through. Those were ones that were in building pads that we knew were going to get removed down the road that were dead mm-hmm. or dying. The reason why they've been reluctant on this one is because it's outside the building pad, but unfortunately it's closer to the adjacent owner than a lot of the ones we already had them remove. And the big thing is just cost more than anything else. Mm-hmm. As they expressed in the email, they were going to remove it if declared. I think they just want to be pushed a little bit.
Okay.
Mr. Kleiss, I guess I would share the same concerns that Mr. Carfagna shared, and not that I'm opposed to this. I just think we have to be, you know, we are setting some precedents, I think there's an intrinsic risk, I think, anytime you have mature trees, and while these do appear to be dying, they are still alive to some extent, and so I'm not saying that I'm going to oppose this. I'm just saying that we really, really want to be erring on the side of caution.
Yes.
Because I mean, I've been on our bike trail, and there's a number of dead trees along our bike trail, and if we're going to be in the business of taking down every dead or potentially dead tree that could pose a risk of some sort, we're going to be cutting down a lot of trees in our neighborhoods, and I'm not in favor of that. Even though I used to represent the Ohio Forestry Association and timbering, I'm a supporter of timbering. But I do think we have to be very.
You didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. I do think we have to be very careful and cautious and. What's a nuisance and what isn't.
And we have been. I can guarantee tomorrow we'll get a lot of tree complaints. And from our aspect, Chad knows that he had to deal with us in trying to go through the rigmarole. But I think in most cases the arborist, after they contact an arborist, if it's not a hazard, they're not calling us back. So
And Chad, it's absolutely nothing relative to your specific situation. I understand. I have kids, I have grandkids, and, you know, I totally understand the risk that can bring, so.
If anything, I appreciate that you actually reached out to Bob Webb to try to resolve it before coming to us. I mean, that's what I would encourage property owners to talk to each other. If you've got a big tree and, you know, you think it poses a threat, talk to your neighbor first before you talk to Joe or talk to the township. But, thank you for exhausting that at least first.
All right. Any other comments? We're ready.
Roll call. Mr. Gebhardt?
Qualified, aye.
Ms. Lewis?
Aye.
Mr. Carfagna?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Next on the abatement list is a property located at 4681 St. Andrews Drive. Joe, you have this listed as Galena, and this is actually a Westerville address. So there's a typo on the resolution.
Okay.
This property was abated by the township last year. We're still having issues with it. It's a very large parcel for Highland Lakes. It's got high grass and weeds, and the acreage is blanked out on here, Joe. What are we talking about, like 2 acres of a lot?
Yes, I think it was 2 acres when we were there last time.
Picture's pretty self-explanatory.
It sold at a sheriff's sale last week, but unfortunately the transfer's not occurred. And what we've been finding is the transfer is taking some time. So the neighbor's been dealing with this for a while. We were hoping it would sell, which it has, but unfortunately it's obviously not being maintained in the meantime. So we just want to be able to get one good fresh mow and be able to get the community on board for, or the future property on board for maintaining it. Winter, if we find out who that is.
Okay, I'll move to declare declaration of nuisance and abatement of nuisance pursuant to Ohio Revised Code 505.87 on real property located at 4681 St. Andrews Drive, Westerville, Ohio, 43082, parcel number 31724003032000. Is there a second to the motion?
I'll second that. Oh, it is 02, I'm sorry.
Yeah. We have a second discussion.
Just quick question. So it sold the sheriff's sale, so it's going to be transferring over to a new property owner. We're going to be declaring a nuisance. I guess I don't want to be punishing somebody
right.
That's coming in and going to start maintaining it here on out.
Yeah, we had this on the docket to bring before. Our concern is because it hasn't cleared that it's probably not going to go through. Because they have to go find funding. They put a certain amount of money down.
Okay.
We don't know who it is. We've contacted the sheriff's office to try to see who actually purchased it.
Okay.
It could be the bank. So our fear is, it said it sold, and it did say a third party, which usually is not the bank, but it could be another investor. We just want to make sure that it's not another month before it gets mowed.
So we're going to mow it, and then we're going to turn around and put that lien or put that... That cost assessment. We're going to assess that property.
Yeah, it's
whoever the new party is that just purchased it is going to have to pay that assessment.
There's already assessments from us on it, so
okay.
Yeah, this will be adding to the previous ones.
Adding to it.
Would those assessments have showed up on the closing?
Title
yeah.
search.
Yeah. When it goes through the actual
lien.
Yeah, when it goes through the actual sale,
right.
Will be included. In the and I think we have first. I think we talked about that earlier. It was when Andy was here. I think when we were talking about Lake of the Woods. But we'll have a first collection or whatever it is on those. So yeah, with same with this one. Unfortunately it's just one that's been around for a while and it's right at the entrance to the development and a highly visible location. So I believe it might have been earlier this year. I'm horrible with time, but it was last year we took care of it. Yeah, and in that process, we'll want to get that cleared up as well. So.
And that whole area that's shown here, I mean, the whole, you say 2 acres?
It's a very sizable piece.
The entire 2 acres has traditionally been mowed?
Yes. Yeah, it was mowed prior, and it actually has a pretty significant waterway going through it.
Yeah, that's what I saw on the map.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And the adjacent owners are currently building a fence, trying to screen their view of it because they've dealt with it for so long. But we obviously want to try to allow them to enjoy the rest of their yard.
Looks like a split rail fence.
It might be. I thought it was a board and plank fence, but I could be wrong.
No, it might be. I don't know. Okay.
Okay. Did we have a second?
I second it.
Yes.
Okay. Any further discussion?
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carbonia.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Now we're into the purchase orders from the maintenance department. I have two that are stapled together. You'll see. I'm going to tear those apart. First one I'd like to bring up was Williams Seal Coating. I'd like to request, or Mr. Matthews would like to request to have some crack sealing performed on Plum Road, Innisbrook, Linder Way, Freeman Road, and Big Walnut. On Freeman Road and on Big Walnut, the township employees have been doing some milling. We've milled down 2 to 2.5 inches of asphalt, and one of the purchase orders was to have two of these holes professionally paved back in place. But the crack sealing would be to crack the seals of the joints around this patch so that it won't deteriorate through the winter. And Plum Road and Innisbrook just plain needed some crack sealing on them because they had some pretty sizable cracks that have appeared since winter.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion to do so.
Madam Chair, I'll make a motion to approve a purchase order to Williams Seal Coating in the amount of $5,639 for crack sealing Plum, Innisbrook, Linder Way, Freeman, and Big Walnut Road.
Is there a second?
Seconded.
Discussion.
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carbonia.
Aye.
Motion carries.
The next purchase order is for McCoy Paving. This would be for the professional paving of the patches that we've cleared out on Big Walnut and Freeman Road, and the amount is $4,400.
Okay, is there a motion?
Madam Chair, I'll make a motion to approve a purchase order to McCoy Paving in the amount of $4,400 for road patching of Big Walnut and Freeman Roads.
I'll second that. Is there discussion?
Roll call. Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carbonia.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay. Thank you. Next on the list is the annual request for the Halloween blanket purchase order for supplies, candy, of course, a lot of candy, and any games, any updates of games that we need for the event. The request, it falls under the amount that we need to take to the trustees, but we want to have the trustees approve the expenditure as we do every year. The request is for a blanket purchase order for $2,500.
Okay, I'll move to approve a blanket purchase order for the 2010 Halloween open house.
I have a second.
In the amount of, you don't want an amount?
$2,500.
$2,500, I'm sorry. Second?
I apologize. Seconded, yes.
No, that's okay. I delayed. Okay, discussion.
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carbonia.
Aye.
How many people, Paul, did we have last year?
Oh, my goodness, there were thousands.
Yeah.
It seems like. It just,
seems
it was a big crowd because it was an afternoon date.
Right.
And we worked it between nap times, and it was a pretty popular event. Do you have an estimate, Pat?
No, I'm just saying it's in the afternoon this time, too, and I think when we do it that way, the kids even love it more because they can take advantage of beggars night.
Right.
And then they can be there. I mean,
double dipping.
My boy loves it.
Sugar. Mr. White, I also just want to make a comment. I know the trustees always receive some feedback regarding beggars night, and I think in our responses back to some of the concerned citizens as to when it's going to be held, we will take that under advisement for next year and
yes.
Look at some other input and, before a decision's made. So,
sure.
Just appreciate the folks bringing that to our attention.
Okay.
Yes.
Great. Thank you for that request there, for that approval.
You're welcome. That's money well spent.
Yeah, that's great.
Gee.
Sugar rush.
A lot of next. Happy kids, at least when we see them, they're happy. I don't know what happens with their parents later on. But.
Oh, yeah. Next on the list is a note for one of our salaried employees, increase. Every fifth year on a salaried employee, and in our policy manual, the rates of vacation are increased for individuals. For salaried individuals, we're a little bit different. Ours aren't automatic kick-in, so they have to be manually approved. And anytime there's an increase in benefits, we're spelled out, we're different than others. So on August 1st, Chief Honeycutt hit his fifth year anniversary at the township. When that occurs, an increase of 1 week is given to the employee. When Chief Honeycutt was hired with the township, his total service as a chief and as a fire employee was taken into consideration with his seniority, et cetera, because we were hiring a professional chief. This, I think, is his 29th or 30th year of service in the fire industry.
Yeah. Wow.
So I'm asking for the board to increase one more week of vacation for Chief Honeycutt, which is an increase from 6 to 7 weeks of vacation. If you recall last year, he did take an extra week of vacation in lieu of a raise.
Right, I do recall that. So we're asked to approve a motion to increase his vacation?
Yes, from six to seven weeks.
Okay. I'll make a motion to increase Fire Chief Gary Honeycutt's vacation from 6 to 7 weeks. His fifth year anniversary of service at Genoa.
At Genoa.
Is there a second?
I'll second the motion.
Discussion.
Is there anything under revised code? Does vacation for a public employee ever get capped, a certain number of weeks?
Not unless it's by board resolution. In individual case, no, there's not anything in ORC with the cap.
And the fifth year, typically given a week's vacation,
mm-hmm.
What is 10th year?
Another week's increase.
Another week's increase.
Mm-hmm. And a normal, if you're starting for a young person, not like on a police department, their accrual rates are different.
Right.
So, because they're starting number 1 year of service, chiefs, seniority and his longevity was taken into consideration when he's hired.
Okay.
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carfagna.
Aye.
Chief Honeycutt does a fabulous job. He's also head of the 911 task force for the county too.
Right.
Yes.
Great. Next on the list, I received the renewal of a premium for our general liability firm, Reinhardt Walters and Danner. This year, our policy, general liability policy through Reinhardt Walters and Danner will decrease. The premium will decrease by around $1,200. So, no changes to the policy, no decreases in coverage. We've been working with Reinhardt, Walters, and Danner. I know I've been here going on 7 years, and I know years before I was with the township, we've had a relationship with them. The policy's through the Ohio plan. I know a couple years ago, the village of Sunbury had the Ohio plan and decided to jump off and go with another carrier. And when that happened, there was a claim made against their village.
Mm-hmm.
And what resulted was their new company didn't pay any that claim because it fell before, it fell within the period when when they took over, so they're not going back and covering any of the old claims. Mm-hmm. So with them, they cover us back years and years in case there is a claim made against the township. And they're a good company, mm-hmm. and I'm recommending passage of their renewal this evening. It's an October 1st renewal.
Okay, is there a motion to do so?
Yeah, Madam Chair, I'll make a motion to approve the 2010-2011 general liability insurance renewal and authorize a purchase order to Reinhardt Walter Danner in the amount of $61,477 for the 2010-2011 general liability insurance renewal.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Discussion?
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Garfagna.
Aye.
Motion carries.
This evening, a representative from the Community Foundation, I believe, was asked to be here. I don't believe anyone has showed up this evening on the Community Foundation, so I suggest we table this item until we receive some more information from that fund.
Okay.
The changes that have been made to this, I mean, just some handwritten, is that by them or by us or...
I'm not sure. Joe?
It's like it says, changing legacy to improvement.
Yeah, the Parks Advisory Board have made suggestion that we use Parks Improvement Fund as a title versus Parks Legacy Fund to be more broad and broad-reaching and more versatile. They had hoped to put this in place for the movie night that will be happening this Saturday with the idea that we're going to be doing some fundraising. This type of thing would be what they would want to use for, not just a legacy, mm-hmm. but for just general park improvements mm-hmm. and events.
Well, I mean, whether we act on this or not, it's not going to change the, I mean, they can still fundraise at movie night.
Yes, yeah. They're still going to be fundraising, yeah. right.
I mean, we're not going to take the money and spend it on...
No, I'm not saying that. No, from a practical standpoint, though, that was their application of why they were talking about changing this right. was not just the legacy program, which has been discussed, but the idea that they wanted to try to use it for more broad-based reasons, things like the movie night. The other change was just from city to township, and I think the blank item on there will have to be filled in at the point that we complete fundraising mm-hmm. of a minimum of $5,000. Mm-hmm. So we can't approve this technically until we raise right. those funds anyhow.
I know that we had raised a number of questions at the last meeting, just having reviewed it for the first time. Were any of those discussed with the Parks Advisory Board? Did they have any?
They were meeting at the exact same time, so I haven't actually heard your questions. So,
okay. I'm sorry.
we can relay those. I know by the time I got over here, you guys had already discussed it. Yeah. So.
I mean, I think we all agree with the concept mm-hmm. behind this. I mean, we support the idea, but it's more or less the devil's in the details type thing.
Sure.
Where, we want to make sure it's as
well. And I think the Community Foundation wanted to come before us anyway, just to explain what the Delaware County Foundation is. I know one of the board members approached me a couple months ago, and I met with her, and so I mean, it works both ways. We'll learn what they are, and then we can also be asked specific questions.
Yeah,
I just don't want the Parks Advisory Board to, we're not trying to be an impediment or anything like that. It's just we.
I think the big thing for them is they want to move forward with the $5,000 and trying to secure that in some way so that when it becomes available, then we can mm-hmm. actually open the fund because we can't do anything until we collect the $5,000. So they're moving forward with that with the idea that it'll eventually happen. With the concept of the fund, the idea would be we could have multiple funds. So I think it's great that we're having Marlene here because from my conversations with her, sounds like this is one small use. We could also set up different funds to handle different things throughout the township. So parks is one small element of
That's
their big picture.
Point.
They actually provided, I think it was knock boxes for handicap individuals in PAL, or those with disabilities. I'm not sure the proper term, but they provided those as part of a Community Foundation grant that's available.
What is it?
Knox box, where you put your key so that the fire department can gain access.
It's an access point for firefighters. We have a knock box on the outside here.
Okay.
It's a simple key that the fire department has. It's a standardized lock as we're approaching a burning building or this building. If they need to gain access, knock break down the doors. They can go into the Knox box, and there's keys to that building.
Okay.
That you can get out of the Knox box. That will open our doors.
So, and that was to Liberty Township, so I'm excited about hearing other opportunities mm-hmm. of things we might be able to take advantage of.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Kleiss.
Thank you.
Anything else?
One other thing yes. before the, or after the agendas were made, we posted another meeting for announcement.
Okay.
September 20th is the first meeting of the Road Levy Committee.
Okay.
It's going to be held at 7 p.m. in the road maintenance department, 7049 Big Walnut Road, Bay One in the maintenance garage.
You so have chairs for people?
There'll be chairs and a table and
table
trucks and
I bet
tractors.
The food won't be as good as we have, so don't leave before you have some coffee.
I wasn't planning on food, but now I guess I have to.
Yeah, well, whatever you want to do. Whatever you want to do. Yeah, thank you, Paul. Thank you. Are there any other announcements from the audience? Other announcements that we do have, movie night is at McNamara Park. Our new pilot is this Saturday night. Did you?
I didn't know if gentlemen wanted to make any announcements.
I just want to introduce myself. Jeff Cashman, joining from the days.
Yeah, sure.
Sure. Yes, we're on streaming audio. It's not live. Yeah,
sorry, Jeff, I don't mean to put you on the spot.
So we've got to have people who are listening, then they can hear you.
I just signed in. Jeff Cashman, longtime Genoa Township resident, graduate of Westville North.
All right.
Friend of Rick's. I work here in the township. I'm an insurance broker. I specialize in dealing with townships. And for whatever reason, I've never reached into my own backyard to try and talk to the township.
Uh-huh.
So I'm just here to...
Oh, great.
...introductions, and I work with over 300 townships, so you are some
gosh.
Of the most organized
okay.
and efficient township trustees
oh.
that I've ever had to deal with.
Oh, my gosh.
Me,
oh,
I've
boy.
Been to a couple
you must
meetings.
Be very successful. Yeah, really. Thank
and
you. No, that's nice.
Just want to
that's nice. What's your address again?
It's at 8223 Chateau.
Barrington Estates.
Okay.
But his office is actually just located right out here in front of Meyer.
Oh, that's
the 110 Polaris Parkway.
Oh, sure.
And I cover the entire state, and we have between 300 and 400 townships we work with.
Do you really?
We're strong supporters of the Ohio Township Association.
Okay. No, thank you for coming. That's great.
He's with the is it Wickard?
Wickard Insurance.
Wickard Insurance.
Okay.
I did get some materials from Jeff once upon a time, and I provided
okay.
them to Linda. Just said, you know, whenever, when as we look at carriers
mm-hmm.
from time
sure.
to time.
I was on vacation
sure.
when you scheduled your meeting last time, so
sure.
wasn't able to hear last month.
Sure.
You know, as we look at
oh,
carriers
right.
from time to time, you know, looking for savings, you know, this could be another option.
Sure.
You know, especially. You know, someone that lives right in the township.
That's,
exactly.
Yes.
Specialized in townships.
Right, right. No, that's really valuable information. Thank you.
Thanks for
being here. Thank you, Jeff. Boy. Gosh, public comment was kind of slow tonight. We had 117 people here last Wednesday, a week from last Wednesday, so. They all laughed when I said, well, where are you usually? I mean, this is, you know, they go, oh. So anyway, it was the meeting in which we held for concerns about Hoover Dam and adjacent property owners there to city land. So we had quite a large meeting there. So now, gosh, you know, this is it.
Madam Chair,
yes.
And maybe
yes,
you're
trustee.
Going to jump to this. Could we have Mr. Wise give us, I understand we've had a rather successful police.
Oh yes, thank you.
Issue
yes.
That took place yesterday.
Thank you.
Yes, went home yesterday for lunch, and I noticed a police cruiser, or not a police cruiser, a news crew in front of my house, and I won't say where I live. One of my neighbors, the night before, went to bed with their garage door open, and they had a thief come in and steal their weed whacker, and I guess they heard the thieves must have kicked something in the garage that woke them up, and they called the Genoa Police Department and put them on notice that they were just had somebody come in the garage and steal something. So our crew our wonderful, wonderful police crew in Genoa Township responded. I think the two or three on duty that evening started canvassing the township, and I believe they found two gentlemen in Medallion in a pickup truck with stolen items in the back of the pickup truck, and they admitted to numerous thefts in the township and outside of the township. So hats off to the wonderful work by our department capturing these bad men who shouldn't believe be here. But just a warning, keep your garage doors closed. You're setting yourself up for an unexpected visitor in your house or in your garage.
I believe the alleged thieves had a few words for the people who they robbed. What did they say?
I believe it was, I'm trying to remember the chief's quote.
I'm trying to remember his quote.
Stupid,
if you're stupid,
I think one of the
go ahead.
People apprehended said, if they're stupid enough to leave it out, I'm going to steal it. So,
a sense of entitlement.
Yeah. But I understand also that it could lead to potentially 70 to 100 other burglaries that these people could be responsible for. So,
our police yesterday were trying to obtain some search warrants on their homes and try to get to their properties to inventory some of their personal belongings, see if there was anything else that had been stolen from. Around
they did
the area.
That because I was over at the fire station for a meeting, and Detective Welsh was logging stolen property from that arrest and confessing.
Really?
Truckload of stuff, wasn't it? Showing up.
Oh, really?
So.
Oh, my gosh. Boy, thank you very much for bringing that up.
Well, and I think it goes without saying, too, that in addition to keeping your garage door closed, if you park your car outside, you should keep it locked.
Yeah.
Because that's been another common property crime.
Yes, it has.
For people to just, check car door handles and,
you can find
some decent loot in there to
GPS
pawn off. And satellite
radio and stuff like that. Stuff
there. Thank you.
That's off to our.
Yeah, kudos to our police department again. Other announcements, okay. Movie night at McNamara Park this Saturday night. I believe the first movie starts at, is it 6, 7? 7:30, okay, because it wouldn't be dark. Probably. Okay, 7:30, second feature is at 9.
9:30, and the
when is it?
9:30,
okay.
And the event starts at 7.
Okay. And the Family Fishing Day at Hillmar Park is September 25th. From 9 to 1. The Board of Zoning Appeals meets on September 28th at 7 p.m. The Road and Bridge Levy Committee, September 20th, 7 p.m. Next trustee meeting we're going to set, and it may change from October 7th. I've just learned of a potential conflict tonight right before we came in. So it'll be close to the 7th, but we'll let you know. We'll set that very soon. So okay. Any other announcements?
No, ma'am.
Okay. I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Madam Chair, I make a motion that we adjourn at 8:05 p.m.
Second.
Discussion?
Roll call, Mr. Gephardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carfon.
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you. Thanks a lot. There are